Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the UI Breakfast Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Portman, and today our guest is Alet Gagan, an independent software consultant who has been recently focusing on privacy regulations, and we are going to talk about GDPR for designers today. This episode is brought to you by userlist.io. This new tool helps SaaS founders get a better understanding of each individual user journey and send users relevant behavior-based email. To learn more, join the waiting list at userlist.io. Hi, Alet.
Hi, Jane.
Thank you so much for making the time for us today. We are so eager to learn about the subject, even though the official date has passed.
Yes, of course. And thank you for having me and letting me talk about this subject to your guests, your listeners.
Wonderful. Before we get started, could you please tell us a bit about yourself, how you got started, and how you decided to focus on GDPR lately?
Okay, so I've been doing, as I said, software consulting for medium companies, which means that sometimes I write software and sometimes I'm advising a company about how to wire together existing solutions. So my clients began last year to ask me about this privacy regulation and to help them become compliant, let's say. And so this is all how it started. And also, as a little background, I'm quite, I've already been active in the open data community. So this is a subject which is important for me anyway. And so I started helping my client, and other people and other company came to me and asked me also to help them, put their business and their product in line with the GDPR requirement. And this is where also mainly I do that for technical team, but I just came to realize that it's not technical or legal. It's a lot about design.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk about the essentials first, and then we are all ears to hear how that, you know, all that can be reflected in the actual front end UI.
Yeah.
So before we dive into that, I'm sure everyone knows what GDPR is, but first, could you decipher it for us and maybe give us a few key concepts of how it works? Because, you know, everyone in the field is split in different roles and how these roles work, essentially.
Okay, so at the core level, the GDPR is about privacy. And first, I would just like to make a very small sidebar about privacy, because it's a cultural thing. In Europe, privacy is a fundamental human right, which so it means that European people are very, very, for European people, privacy is very important. And sometimes when I talk with people from other parts of the world, like people living in USA, it's difficult for US people to understand that, because privacy is not something they care about or is baked into their law. So first one. And so the core of the GDPR says that you have a right to privacy, and you have a right to that your personal data will not be used or processed in an unfair way. You, as a processor or person of personal data, a SaaS business, need to make sure that the way you are handling the personal data of your customer or your customer is done in a fair and in a transparent way. Does it make sense for you?
Oh, for me, definitely. And it's great to hear that. It's great that we have you coming from France, being the representative of the European community, talking about this now. Not just in a way of being compliant, but representing the philosophy as you described it.
Yes, I think it's very important to understand that, because privacy has always been baked into our laws. And certainly, I think our lawmaker realized that, company using a lot of personal data was a privacy problem also. And in fact, the GDPR has been in the making for a very, very long time. It has been signed in 2016, but it has been in discussion for at least 5 or 6 years before. So it has been a matter of reflection for policy makers and lawmakers for a long time. So, yes, it's, and people now, it's because so GDPR became enforceable in 25th of May, people just seem to discover that, a lot of people, but it has been in the making for a long time.
So can you give us an insight? Well, first, I think we didn't mention that it's deciphered as a general data protection regulation. Not that it means a lot, but that's what GDPR stands for. Could you give us an overview of key roles, controller, processor, et cetera, that people have under that regulation?
Yes. So, yes, this is two main roles, meaning, so the controller is the one who decides what it is, what you're doing with the data you're collecting, meaning you control the means of the processing. And as a controller, so you have the responsibility to make sure that you inform people of what you do with their data. And you also have the responsibility to make sure that if you are using third-party processor, so if you are sending data to other provider for some service you are using inside your app, for example, you need to make sure these provider also have a sufficient ability to meet the requirement of the GDPR. Mm-hmm. And then, if you are a third-party processor, which is called a processor in the GDPR term, you have to make sure that you meet the GDPR requirements. And you also have this role of helping and alerting your controller about if the processing you are doing has no legal ground, because the GDPR say you cannot process data unless you have a legal ground to do that. So I don't want to make this talk about deciphering everything in GDPR, but basically, mm-hmm. you need to make sure you have some legal reason to process the data.
What that can be in plain English?
So basically, you have four different reasons. First one is consent. Basically, when you are doing marketing, you are asking people for are you okay to give me your email address so I can send you newsletter, for example. This is the one everyone understands. And then if you are a SaaS business, people are signing up for your term of services, so you are in a contract. And so this is also a legal ground for processing, because you are in the inside the execution of a contract. And another one is because it's legal obligation. For example, when you are selling some goods on the internet, you need to have invoice, and you have to keep this invoice for example, 10 years. It's a legal obligation. You cannot say, I won't do that. So this is another legal ground. And the last one, which is kind of complicated to understand and a gray area, is legitimate interest, meaning you didn't ask for consent. You have no reason to process this data for an execution of a contract. There is no legal obligation, but you are still processing this data. For example, if you are doing an outreach campaign, so you gathered information from publicly available listing, and you are emailing someone without having its consent first. This is another reason, which is called legitimate interest. But you have to make sure you are doing it in a fair way. This is why I'm saying it's kind of a gray area, because you cannot decide, oh, it's my legitimate interest and I can do whatever I can. You have to document what you are doing and have basically you can use legitimate interest if business interests do not trespass the rights and freedoms of the subject, the data subject. You are processing data.
Mm-hmm. How does that, so that is the formal roles, and how does that translate to a few common situations? I would probably speak for the majority of our audience. So one use case I'd love to discuss is having a newsletter or a company marketing list. Before anybody gets involved into, you know, any relationships or contracts. Mm-hmm. And the other one is the relationship between the SaaS company and their existing users. And one more, the complex one I have for dessert, it is that SaaS companies that are essentially acting as third-party processors for their clients and handling their clients' data. So that's a more complex one. So in this situation, I myself, the owner on the list, and MailChimp, who is sending emails for me, who of them is a controller and who of them is a processor?
So you, as the owner of the list, you are controller, meaning that you ask people for their email. You are the controller.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you send the email you're gathering to MailChimp. So MailChimp is your third-party provider, is a processor, is processing the data on your behalf.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And since we're talking about design and how that is reflected in the UI, the question would be, on my website where I have the sign-up form, do I have to have a check mark specifically clarifying the consent, or is it enough to say that by clicking the button below, I agree to be receiving newsletters from Jane?
Yes, you don't have. The GDPR does not say what you have to do. Mm-hmm. It just says that the consent, when people are giving their data on this on the ground of consent, you must provide them information in a clear and understandable way. So if you just, put your email address here to receive my newsletter, it's, there is no way they can put their email address to do anything other than receive a newsletter.
But that's too easy, because most times we use things called lead magnets or something like that, a free book or a free course. So would it be okay saying by entering your email address below, please send me the free course, but I also agree to receive newsletters from Jane?
Okay, so this is, you cannot bundle a consent for everything. If you also want to subscribe them to a newsletter, you should have a checkbox. But be better, better in a UIX point of view experience, it's better to say, okay, send me my freebie. And you will say, and you will receive maybe five emails following up this freebie. And inside the following up email, you would have something say, hey, I also ran a newsletter. Click here to subscribe to this newsletter. Instead of bundling everything together and having people make a decision and choosing, should I do this or that? No, just let them download downloadable, follow up, and then ask them to subscribe to the newsletter.
The thing is, we all know about conversion rates. So let's compare these two situations. So one is keep sending them stuff automatically, which means that, you know, 100% will keep getting it and maybe 10% will do something and unsubscribe. So there will be 90% left on your list. However, if I do send them a request to subscribe, we all know that 10, 5, 15% max will do that. And that means that I will only have 10% of those folks on my list, which doesn't make me happy. It doesn't make me happy at all.
Yes. Okay. So, fair enough. I think, I have a very controversial view about that, because I think that I only want people really, really interested and qualified. And I don't want people who are just here because they sign up for something. But it's my point of view, and I know everyone won't think the same. So, in that case, you could use a legitimate interest saying, okay, the interest of my company, the legitimate interest of my company is sending a newsletter. You know, you sign up for downloadable, but you are automatically subscribed to my newsletter because it is my legitimate interest. And in such particular case, I'm not trespassing on the rights and freedom of the people, and I also include an unsubscribe link in all my emails, so I consider that in this case I can use this legal ground.
Wonderful. Let's continue Let's continue with the second use case. We are a SaaS company providing some sort of software as a service, and we are already in different grounds. We are in a binding contract with our users, right? So we have way more opportunities to contact them.
Yes, sure, because you need to send them email, transactional emails, which are needed for the execution of the contract, and the contract is providing to them a service.
And from the UX standpoint, where do we need to specify that? So how does that look like, the relationship with them? Do we need to have a GDPR section in our user agreement somewhere on the website, or does there need to be a particular screen when they sign up? What is the interaction?
Okay, so anyway, because processing of personal data is not only email. It's you may have a service who process a lot of personal data. So you could call it a GDPR section, a privacy policy, anything you want. There is no required name, but you need to provide sufficient information, and the information you need to provide are described in the GDPR itself. It's article, I don't remember, I will say, but there is a whole article describing the type of information people need to have when they are signing up to your service. Basically, what you do with their data, if you are using third-party provider, if you are sending data outside Europe, because basically transfer of personal data is closely watched, how long you're going to keep the data, their rights, how they can contact you if they need to have access to their data, because this is a right. You have a right of access, rectification, suppression, and portability in certain cases. So this is all things you need to inform people about. And yes, and it is very interesting in a UX point of view, because what I've seen a lot, if a checkbox to say, okay, check the checkbox to say you are okay with my term of service or whatever. And this is a link to our privacy policy, and it goes to a huge page, which is not always very clear. But what the guidelines published by the European Data Protection Board, which is a group of all the data protection authorities, the 27, say publish guidelines, and they say that information is not only a link to a big page. It should be layered, contextual, meaning that it's very, it's really a job for UI and UX designer. It's what the people signing up for my service need as information right now. I don't want to send them to a page where they have to read a lot of things. The best practice should be to have the information right there on the form when you are signing for it.
So the at one hand, the law makes us provide a lot of information, and on the other hand, we have to provide it instantly in a clear way. So how can we do that?
I think this is a very interesting question and a very interesting challenge for UI UX designer. And there are people are starting to publish good and bad practices, and trying to come up with creative solution, because not everything has been done right now. People are trying to invent and come up with new solution. And yes, this is some new territory to discover. How can you make a clear information available in context, because sometimes you will need to ask for email address, but you will certainly need to ask for other information, data, personal data, and you need to let people know right there why you need this information for. There is there are already people UI and UI designer thinking about that and publishing some guidelines, and I think we are just at the beginning.
Are there any great examples or articles where you know that UX part of JDBR has been revealed, described, or maybe showing some nice examples of implementation?
Yes, yes. The ICO, which is UK Data Protection Authority, has published a small study, and also some other article have also published, you know, some example. And there is also a very interesting and nice article in Smashing Magazine about more generally what is called the privacy by design framework, which give example of what should be the best practices about information, but also in a more general overview of what is the privacy and this concept of privacy by design, meaning privacy should not be an afterthought, something you slap onto your service after you've published it. It should be right at the start, before you write any line of code with a designer, having this this thinking, this reflection about what privacy mean in our service? How can we protect the privacy of our users? Right at the beginning. Because, for example, you offer a social media sign-up for your service. Is it really privacy-friendly? It is, if you can also offer a sign-up directly on your service, but if you force people to sign through Facebook or Twitter, for example, it's not privacy-friendly because maybe these people signing up for your service don't want Facebook or Twitter know about what they're doing with your service. Mm-hmm. So this is where it's important for designer to understand privacy, because GDPR says that you should design your service with privacy by design in mind. Privacy by design and also privacy by default, meaning the default of your service, privacy-wise, should always be with the maximum protection.
Mm-hmm. One more use case is that I had that for dessert for you is that what if our SaaS product has to be a data processor, let's say MailChimp in our example, but also ourselves are building UserList, for example, and that is also going to be a data processor because we are processing and sending on behalf of our clients to their clients.
Absolutely.
So what would be our compliance, what would it look like in this case?
Okay, so you have this obligation to help your controller with their obligation regarding GDPR. I haven't talked about that, but there is an obligation of notifying any data violation, for example, data breach. And also, as a data processor, you need to help your controller with this obligation I was talking before, like accessing the data, rectifying the data, deleting the data. So you need to offer to your controller a way for them to make sure they can offer this right to their customer. The thing is, the whole chain of processing is tied together, and you as a processor need to offer the tools for your controller to meet the requirement of help their customer to exercise our rights.
Mm-hmm. There is a term, data processing agreement, I think that is.
Yes.
Can you elaborate on that term a little bit?
Yeah. The thing is, the data processor cannot process the data of a controller if he does not have a written agreement. Okay, let me say the other way around. You need a written agreement with your controller to process the data. This is the foundation of the data processing agreement, meaning that you need this in writing. And it's also because as a processor, you have a lot of responsibility because you need to help your controller, as I said. So the data processing agreement is here to make sure everything is in writing, how you're going to help them with the data subject right, meaning, as I said, information, access, rectification, deletion, and data portability in the case of a contract or a consent. And you also need to help them with data breach because there is a lot of chance that you as a processor will be, you may be the one who has a data breach and you need to make sure that your controller is know that. And also, you as a processor, you may need to also hire a sub-processor, another processor, like AWS. And you need to have also a written authorization from your controller to do that. And this is all that you need to have in your data processing agreement. So there are some templates. We can give them in the show notes, which list everything you have written in your data processing agreement.
Yep, we will link to that in the show notes for sure. So, Alette, unfortunately, we have to wrap up for today. I wish we had another hour to talk about this in different use cases. But thank you for sharing your insight, the philosophy, and the use cases with us today. Where can people find you and your work online?
So you can find me at gdpr4sas.eu, which is a website I set up for all the things GDPR related and all the privacy resources I can gather. And then you can also find the service I provide, and also I'm putting together a GDPR package for SaaS business to help them understand what is the GDPR and most of all know what to do to get started, because sometimes, you know, nobody has the time to read the regulation, which you should do anyway. And plus, it's quite comprehensive, and you may have read it and say, and know what? How do I get started with my SaaS business? So this package is meant to come up with a solution for you and your team.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So we're going to link to that package in the show notes. And I also know you do 60-minute strategy calls related to GDPR in case someone is totally confused.
Yes, it's happened. You may have started do something GDPR related and you may be starting your track, or you have a very specific question you don't know the answer about. You can call me and set up a 60-minute consultation call, and we go through everything. And also, I will certainly ask you to do a very short screencast of your main process So I make sure everything is aligned with GDPR requirement, and you don't miss some information or something is, you know, not quite right.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you once again, Alette, for sharing with us today. And I hope, you know, we all figure out these practices so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel every time.
Yes, sure.
If you enjoyed listening to this episode, please leave a review on iTunes. It will help other people discover this podcast.